And welcome back to hour number two. We have had some comments about the video we played Monday about looking at these white clots. They're calling them white clots. We've always called them amyloid clots. But apparently they're beginning to look at the composition of them, and they're interesting. There's a polymer physicist. Is that what he was? Polymer physicist?
A polymer chemist.
Well, I had everything but the C-H-E-M right. Okay. Anyway, he mentioned tin. He mentioned
phosphorus.
What else, though? Those were the primary two, I guess. We can kind of stop there. But tin and phosphorus. The chemistry of the human body is unknown to 99.9% of humans. They have no idea of what goes on in there. Like I say, they can't even find their kidneys, most of them. I'm not putting people down. That's just a state of the species. We just don't know. So we got some nice comments, and apparently this is being picked up and looked at elsewhere. What do you have on this that particular video? Where did it go? And who's talking about it?
It disappeared from the original site, the original Rumble channel, for reasons unknown. But thankfully, it's been mirrored over on BitChute by a couple people. I don't know. Was there something controversial in there? I don't know. It didn't appear to be controversial. On the contrary, it appeared to be very factual and informative. I mean, this is probably the best solid data that we've had on these clots in a long time. You know, it's data that's being generated by genuine, legitimately qualified labs, right. Two universities, and you know, it's being offered up with a hypothesis, with, you know, supporting research as to what's being found clinically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it opens the door for further discussion. You know, there's nothing written in stone yet, but it's a starting point, a launching pad for more investigation and more discussion.
Well said. In the meantime, we'll continue to refer to these white clots as amyloid-like clots. If they want to come up with other ingredients that we don't know about, great. Let's find out more.
The composition is all organic. In other words, these are composed of proteins that already exist within the human body.
No, that's not true. That is not true. These are self-assembling little nanobots, and if you look closely, you'll see them. They look like a Star Wars
too,
machine.
Right?
Come on, yeah. That too. Yes.
So clearly, whatever pathway is being hijacked has been deranged in a really profound way. Now,
it sounds like some people
maybe,
I know.
Well, yeah, people with overactive imaginations,
yes.
But
yes.
Like stealing
Go
the
ahead.
Limelight.
I can't resist something.
You know, there may be some autoimmune pathology in there. You know, that wouldn't be surprising if the endothelium, the lining of the vessels, has been transfected with this material and is producing spikes. So the body's going to try to attack and destroy those cells because
Isn't
it recognizes
it
them as foreign.
In addition to that, we already have known damage to the endothelial cells. That's common. And that's spike.
Yeah, maybe some of these people also have another infection of the blood vessels, a co-infection of sorts. We can speculate that maybe they have HHV6, which is a herpes virus that can infect the endothelium. Cytomegalovirus can infect the endothelium. Chlamydia pneumoniae can infect the endothelium. So maybe that's contributing to this inflammation.
Too many hot fudge sundaes can do it too. You know, you got to be careful.
And just the inflammatory process all by itself. Plus, now we have heme that's breaking down, and maybe if a person does not have enough heme oxygenase to break down heme, the heme can be very irritating to the endothelium and damaging and meld with it and cause all kinds of inflammation.
Don't forget what's breaking the heme away from the iron and the hemoglobin cells is our friendly spike. And
right.
It's turning the heme loose, which is a toxin, and the iron loose, which is a toxin. Together, they're rather spayed and neutered. They're okay. And they do a wonderful job of transporting blood, oxygen. And if you don't have blood oxygen, you're dead. So anyway, these are all really important things. The bottom line is there are literally dozens of things that are working, sometimes synergistically, sometimes independently, to destroy the living organism called Homo sapien. Our bodies they're falling apart. Those who have been injected heavily, those who are vax injured, and even those who are allegedly symptom free after having been shot up 4, 5, 6 times, they're in trouble. You can't deny it. Otherwise, you'll have to assume that the shot they got was not functional. It was a dead batch somehow. Because these things are just not to be denied.
No. And you know, between the shedding and the virus, which is now endemic, I would say, that's circulating, I mean, the human race is really under attack. In a really insidious way, because now, you know, a lot of the illness is happening without really severe symptoms.
Right. Right, exactly right.
You know, a lot of damage can be done under the radar. You know, all of these mild cases that ended up showing brain damage, essentially.
Well, we have, tragically, a number of pathways to achieve damage to the brain and the heart and all the other major organs, but especially the brain. The neurological damage, the prion damage. I am really very much at this point leaning toward the irrevocable opinion that this is going to take up residence in human beings like herpes virus. It's always going to be there. Various components of it, not necessarily the virus itself, but that certainly could take up residence permanently too. And over time, it's going to tear the body down. That's what's happening.
Yeah, it does seem to be persistent in some way, and you know, it may be. I mean, they've already determined that at least a portion of it can be reverse transcribed into the person's genome. And we're not talking about the vax;
not
we're talking about
good.
The virus.
Yes.
And it may also take up residence in the gut, in the
doctor's
microbiome.
In the microbiome. Of course, it loves there. That's a primary hotel for it. Dr. Seneff has made it clear that in her work and her professional opinion, shedders are dumping spike and the mRNA instructions to anyone that comes around them. How much does it take to become impacted? We can't tell you that. We don't know. But it's better to have none than any. Don't have any of it. Keep your distance. Wear a mask. Your choice. But you can do things to help minimize your exposure. And all of our dear listeners out there who have been injected, you matter just as much as anybody else. You know that, or you wouldn't be listening. You were tricked. Forced, in some cases, to take these shots, not your fault. And many of you have seen too many friends, loved ones, relatives, co-workers, etc., die already. And there are people dying all over the place. You don't hear about it. You won't hear about it on the mainstream Zionist news. Not going to happen. They won't tell you. Okay. We have Dr. Jancy Lindsay, who has stopped by to say a few words. Anytime you're ready, if you want to set that up.
Yeah, so she appeared on a panel of experts, back at the end of June. It looks like there was probably 10 people giving an update on the status of COVID vaccines. Where do we stand in 2024? And this was sponsored by World Council for Health. And I thought her presentation was interesting because she's describing the delegation of power in the U.S., which probably a lot of people don't realize. You know, when Trump was in office, a lot of things, a lot of legislation got passed that flew under the radar and set the stage for what occurred during the pandemic and certainly over the last 4 years. And what we're going to be facing again, I predict, shortly.
We'll see.
And to whenever quote, we use in her presentation, she quotes the following. HHS, that's Health and Human Services Secretary, Javier Becerra, who is an attorney, not a physician, is arguably the most powerful person in the U.S. today.
That's very
and
interesting.
She will explain why.
Geopolitics is something, again, the rank and file know very little about. They don't know where the real clout comes from. They can't even understand that it doesn't matter which department you're talking about or which branch of government. If you were to ask most of them how many branches of government are, they wouldn't know. This is all a Zionist control enterprise at this point. Everything meaningful,
yeah.
Virtually everything of power or influence, certainly everything of an economic, well, anything of any kind of major impact. It's all controlled by the same people. All right.
You know, and these heads of these agencies that you know, the appointed heads.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Have been endowed with
power
really
that
mind-blowing
they could
power.
They could never have dreamed of, and we have no say in who these people are. We trust
right.
our alleged elected leaders to make the proper appointments and you all saw, I hope you remember, the 4 years of Trump, how he appointed loser after loser after insider after insider.
Mm.
He didn't drain anything except
no.
his bladder several times a day. All right.
Mm.
Here's Dr. Jancy Lindsay.
Of timekeeping for many participants. The next speaker is Dr. Jancy Lindsay. She is a professional in biochemistry and molecular biology, and we can't wait to hear from you. Jancy, it's all yours. Thank you so much.
Hi, Christoph. Thank mm-hmm. you so much, and thank you, Dr. Trazi, as well. I appreciate your letting me speak at this and hearing from others who are working in the same space and us overlapping in our work. So today I'm going to do something a little bit unusual because I'm not talking about the normal things I talk about, which are the risk of genomic integration and of passing these on in this firm as others such as Dr. Acevedo and of course Alexandra have elegantly explained as a definite possibility. I'm so glad to hear this mainstream now instead of me being the crazy person first out there at the U.S. Senate, you know, warning that this could be a problem. Others are recognizing and doing experiments in this area now, finally, as we are trying to do as well. Corinne, I'm glad to hear you are, too. And Kevin has done an amazing job. Where would we be without that work, as well as Jessica and so many others, Martin, Byram, the first to get out biodistribution. I mean, all of you, thank you. So I've been harping on this while we were trying to stop the WHO, and I'm hoping that my presentation actually will load. While we were trying to stop the WHO pandemic treaty, and shouting at the top of our lungs, please, we can't allow this entity to take over national sovereignty and deprive people of their rights within their own countries. Many ignored the fact that in the U.S., we have had unilateral powers delegated to our Human Health and Services Secretary, Xavier Becerra. he basically holds the same ability as Tedros of the WHO to do basically anything he wants within the U.S. He is the singular most powerful person in the U.S. right now. So I just want to, I'm going to try to share this and hope I don't have issues because I'm not streaming well. So can everybody see this? Is it chopped off or not done?
It is. Right? It is chopped off, indeed. Would you maybe go in full presentation mode?
I'm going to try.
All right. Well, what she's talking about, she's got some text that she tried to post, and it's only a partial. And it reads, "Who is the most powerful person in the United States today in the public health sphere? HHH Secretary Xavier Becerra, an attorney, not a physician, is arguably that person."
I'm here because it's giving me issues, like I said, but I'm going to, excuse me.
Don't worry about it, Jamsie. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I've got to move this out of the way. Excuse me. There we go. Okay.
That's the one. Perfect.
And I'm saying basically the USHHS power grab, unilateral power to declare public health emergencies, remove informed consent, quarantine U.S. citizens, and enrich the medical industrial complex. Because all of these things are what is going on in our country and also respectively in other countries. The same thing's happening in Australia, same thing's happening in the U.K. and so many other countries, where there's similar provisions that have allowed a singular entity within their country to take on these powers that are really unconstitutional according to their previous laws, but have been slipped in there according to amendments to the code. And so here with the HHS Secretary in the United States has the power to declare a public health emergency. And this public health emergency does not need to be based in reality. He can literally declare a public health emergency for something that is not a public health emergency, for the mere whim that it could possibly in the future someday be a public health emergency. Imagine giving powers to a person that lets them alter what happens legally, the ability to lock you down, to quarantine you based on anything they feel is fit, and there is no oversight over this.
That's a sheer dictatorial power,
yeah.
Unrestrained, unregulated, given to some idiot that has, I don't care which idiot you choose, somebody who's been given political patronage or given a plum for whatever reason, and they put them in these positions, and they literally have the power of life and death over Americans. That's the truth.
Yeah.
So he has the power to declare a public health emergency, right? He also has the power to detain and quarantine American citizens or foreign citizens in pre-communicable, asymptomatic state without any due process. In other words, you feel fine, you are fine, but they say, oh no, you're sick, and you soon will be really sick, so we're going to detain you and put you in a camp or lock you in your home, whatever. This is insane. This has nothing to do with the U.S. Constitution or the Bill of Rights. Nothing. Mm. This is outside of all reason and rhyme of patriotic and constitutional America. Also, the power to order that emergency use authorization, EUA, experimental untested medical countermeasures may be used on U.S. citizens, that's you, that may be adulterated and misbranded and not subject to good manufacturing practice. Get it? He can order EUA, which we've seen, and over 80% of Americans have been injected with an EUA, which we think, in all likelihood, is is leading a lot of them down that one-way road to the end. It's that bad. All right, here.
This individual, Becerra, has this ability with no oversight. They have the power to detain and quarantine U.S. or foreign citizens, even if they are not in a communicable state, even if they have not demonstrated that they are, in fact, infected. They can be quarantined for the fear that they could infect someone. But
in other words, someone could knock on your door and say, You have COVID. What do you mean? I'm fine. Nobody I know has COVID. You have COVID. You're just in an asymptomatic state. You're pre-communicable. We're going to have to take you in for your own good and the good of your neighbors, your friends, and America, and put you in a place until you get through this illness. We're going to have to give you the injection, the vax injection, to make sure that you don't get this again. And you couldn't say a goddamn word about it. Nothing under this law, this unbelievable dictate that has been given to this guy. And this, I'm not exaggerating at all. This could happen to you, me, anybody, anytime.
Yeah,
and we
have
nothing
to
say.
And don't forget, both New York and Florida passed those laws.
They did. That's right.
Giving them the right to do exactly that.
Yeah. Thanks, Governor DeSantis. Good job. Unreal.
And no oversight there. Third, power to order that experimental and tested emergency measures be used on you without your informed consent, because there's a waiver for EUA products, and when they are adulterated and misbranded and not subject to good manufacturing practice. So I've been harping on this online, but I don't usually.
So, Mr. Smith, you haven't had your COVID vaccination? No, I don't want it. I don't believe in it. I've got too many friends who are sick. They've died. I'm sorry, Mr. Smith. You're going to have that shot. Now, we can give it to you here, or we can take you to where you're going to go and give it to you there. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah, I know. Or just incarcerate them until they agree to take it.
Talk about it. But these EUA COVID shots, Moderna and Pfizer, were granted emergency use authorization, which means they can be fully adulterated and misbranded, but they must be approved. And they will be licensed, essentially, is the language under the amendments to the FDNC code. Also, under emergency use authorization, you do not have to give informed consent. So how did they get away with lying about all this? They did not have to give informed consent. PREP Act, I call it license to lie. The Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act authorizes the Secretary of the HHS to issue a declaration and provide liability immunity to all the individuals covered. That is if you manufacture, that is if you distribute, if you sell, if you have any part in these, if you're involved in the testing, the test kits, the masking, any part of this that may relate to one of the things that they have determined is a public health emergency protected under the PREP Act, you can have complete legal protection for anything that goes wrong.
The PREP Act. Very few of you know about this. The Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. PREP. Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. The PREP Act authorizes the Secretary of Health and Human Services to issue a declaration to provide liability immunity to certain individuals and entities against any claim of loss caused by arising out of, relating to, or resulting from the administration or use of medical countermeasures, as in COVID death shots, that bioweapon.
Now, this really is a racket, as Kevin mentioned, because the HHS secretary can declare anything to be a public health emergency. In fact, the U.S. is under all these current public health emergencies right now.
Did you know there is a public health emergency under the PREP Act? Probably nobody knows anything about any of these. There's more than one. One, smallpox. Two, monkeypox and other orthopox. Three, viral hemorrhagic fevers, Marburg, Ebola. Number four, nerve agents and insecticides, organophosphates. These are emergency declarations. Zika virus, pandemic influenza, anthrax, acute radiation syndrome, and botulinum toxins. Right now, already in effect.
And we're under a public health emergency for Marburg and Ebola until 2028. That was declared last year. How can we be in a public health emergency for something that we don't have a single case of, as is true for many of these, and then be in it for so many years? How do they know that we will need to be in this until 2028? That's a very good question. What this does, though, is it opens up a whole new market for these manufacturers, because now these manufacturers can get federal money, your taxpayer money, to start making countermeasures to each of these things that have been declared as a PHE. And they will get subsidized for that, not only in the manufacture and development of these countermeasures, it seems impossible, just like COVID, but then when the HHS secretary declares that, oh, you have to receive these vaccines now because it's a public health emergency, they also get paid for these countermeasures that they have put in place. So it's a great racket. It encourages the manufacturer of these MCMs, no liability, no harm. The government manufactures them all along the way. And it is a absolute mechanism by which the medical industrial complex can be enriched under fraudulent means with no oversight. So, again, as I discussed earlier, under this law, under the FD&C Act and Code, they can be adulterated and misbranded and not have any good clinical manufacture or good clinical practice. They cannot be subject to clinical investigation if they're under EUA licensure. So all of the talk about, oh, well, the clinical investigation found this and found that, it doesn't even matter. They weren't ever required to have it. It's all a fake and a fraud. Early on, you may not have heard about this, but 15 states in the U.S. actually tried to sue or petition the HHS and the U.S. government to change some of the language that was put into these rulings. And basically, they said that this rule giving you the ability to declare a public health emergency far exceeds your power. It's unlawful. It's unconstitutional. You can't have these powers because they're not delegated by our U.S. Constitution. You can't have the power to quarantine citizens, to just spuriously declare a public health emergency. And the HHS came back and said, oh, no. And also, you can't defer to the WHO, because they said that they would defer. The HHS is going to defer to the WHO in order to decide on what public health emergencies to declare. And HHS came back and said, well, we haven't actually done that yet. We haven't quarantined anyone yet. And we don't have to use the WHO, or we don't plan to use the WHO to do this. So don't worry about it. Nothing's been done yet. We don't think that we'll use these provisions. Texas and Oklahoma said, wait a second. No, you can't just say that you're not going to do this to citizens. And we want further assurances. So they filed a lawsuit, and they said that the HHS should amend its rule because of the existing definition of public health emergency exceeds its authority. All federal agencies, including HHS, are forbidden from delegating their decisions to foreign nations or international organizations absent express provisions by Congress. Here, there is no treaty or international agreement that calls or requires for delegations like this. And even if there was such a treaty, Congress would need to implement such a treaty. And further, they failed. They were denied standing again. I'm also running out of time, but I'm going to finish this. The United States Department of HHS and its officials were accused of unlawfully denying a petition. Judge Terry Means denied the petition. He was put in that position by George W. Bush in 1991. He's a federal judge. He said that they did not have standing. He says, no, you don't have standing. This hasn't actually happened. You as a state are under the auspices of a federal, of the entire country, of the federal government. You cannot, as a state, separate yourself from federal authority. And what they didn't get into in countering the arguments of the WHO stepping in is that the HHS secretary had already been given all of these powers that we were fighting so hard against the WHO and Tedros not to inflict on our country.
Okay, we're going to stop it there, but you get the idea. Things are out of control, and HHS, run by Becerra, and what's his partner's name here? Let's see if I can find it. Anyway, he's got another guy I've heard of before. These are all people who have nothing to do with leading the way to a better America. They're all running agendas. They're all agenda driven. They're all controlled. They're the worst. We're in real grave trouble. Don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, we really are.
Okay. We have another video. Where's the magic bus? Hold on, here it is. All right, this is another one of those stories that we do like to present because it's real. These are our human beings who have been butchered by these bioweapons, which HHS has the ability to force on those who choose not to have it. All right, my mom was forced to have 5 Pfizer COVID shots.
We are live. Tell us your name, please.
Jana Brune.
So the headline, my mom was forced to have 5 Pfizers. That's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take us back, please, and explain what happened.
My mother was living in an assisted living program here in San Diego, California, and she had been in the program in the communities for about 4.5 years. And when COVID hit, all of the people in these kind of assisted living facilities were pretty much forced to have the inoculations, whether they wanted to or not, and all of the people that worked there, the people that ran, all of them had to do it. It was a California regulation. There was no getting out of it. There was no exemptions or anything. So my mother had never, you know, wanted to take any of those kind of things, and she had not before. And the flu, all that, but they required it. So in a 2-year period, it was early of 2021, she had 5 Pfizer COVID vaccinations, and 3 of those were doubled up with the flu vaccine. Same day, same arm, right after each other. And I had tried to ask them if they could stagger those because she was older and obviously had some other things going on in her body to be in an assisted living program. But they said, no, there's nothing you can do. But so anyway, my mother ended up having her last COVID vaccine was the last day of October of 2022, and on November 6th of 2022, she never woke up. And the night Before that, she was completely fine. I spoke to her. I was going to visit her the next morning, and she didn't wake up. So the whole suddenly and unexpectedly happened, and everyone was shocked there because she was pretty much the healthiest one in that facility. So it was heartbreaking, and about a year later, I started a vaccine injury support group here in San Diego, and it's kind of caught fire. So it includes everyone, all vaccinations, not just the COVID, because I know a lot of people are affected. And my son was vaccine injured as a child with all of the vaccines because I was vaccinated as a kid, and I just thought, okay, they know what they're doing, and it must be okay. The doctor's pediatrician. But what happened was he had chronic ear infections as a baby and as a toddler, and then he got type 1 diabetes in high school, which was an older age group for that. And that's when I started diving in and really looking at the ingredients and all of that, you know, what are in these vaccines. So,
you know, I'm sorry to hear that. Your mother's story is horrific. I mean, five COVID shots with how many flu shots?
Three. So three times out of the five COVID shots, she had the flu shots at the same time. And she did have the double back on that the last day of October in 2022. And she passed away. So it's basically November 5th, we think, because they're not quite sure exactly what time she passed. So,
So sorry.
Thank you. I know. It's one of the million stories. So something has to be done.
Okay, something has to be done. And I might most respectfully ask the lady, rhetorically, what are you going to do? What can be done? You're going to go to court, file a lawsuit? How's it going
to
affect
the nation? Well, we're ramping up already for the next plandemic.
We are being told right now, get ready. And if you don't like it, HHS will make sure that you do like it and you'll take your shot. Or we'll take you away and keep you locked up until you do. Now, I don't know where all these alleged camps are that are being built around the country. I know some of you probably know much more about it than I do. I'm not sure they're all being built, but there are a lot of talk, emails, and posts about these camps being put up, concentration camps. I don't know. But the information is certainly not to be completely dismissed. I just don't have the answer. I know they can do whatever the hell they want. This is where we are today. You want to take your grievance to court? Oh, it's not constitutional. You know how long it'll take you to get to the Supreme Court? And how much it would cost if you could?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And you know, Trump is all gung-ho now for this biometric, you know, digital ID thing.
Oh, mention that. That's really important. And we don't have a story for that, but that's really
well,
big.
His VP pick, his running mate, is this J.D. Vance, who has ties to Peter Thiel. And, you know, Peter Thiel is heavily into the... Oh, I don't know, gene therapy, so to speak, bio-digital convergence. And Trump was quoted as saying, we will finally complete the biometric entry-exit visa tracking system, which we desperately need.
Say that again.
So
one more
time. Full steam ahead.
The biometric, say that again.
The biometric entry-exit visa tracking system.
So you want to leave the country? Not without their permission, you won't. You want
or
to come back
into the
home?
Country.
Not without their permission, you won't.
You know, so it starts with what? The borders, the international borders, and then what will happen? Does it come down to the state borders?
State borders. They'll do whatever they want to do, they're going to do. By the time that the pro-Trumpers figure out that they've been sold out again, it's already way too late. Unless they decide not to put Trump in the White House at all, or put him in for a few months and then remove him. I just don't think this is over. I think the Obama-Biden deep state Zionist evil that is running so much of this country. They have no problem killing anybody. And I do want to reiterate that I did go through the young, very young person, the John Kennedy murder, and it ripped this country to shreds. It was horrible. And now Americans seem to be rather blasé about it. And I really do think if Trump had taken a shot to the head and his head had exploded, well, I don't think the country would have reacted anything like it did with John Kennedy. People were crying in the streets. People were crying in the streets. Democrat, Republican, didn't matter. They couldn't imagine this happened in our country. So the same kind of broad daylight public execution, I believe, was planned for Trump to teach the people yet another lesson of obey, obey, obey. That's the unspoken lesson. Okay, let's jump over to our files here, see what we've got. You've put up a bunch of new things. ALS, again, I don't know how much it's being talked about. Are the ALS groups out there busy, or is it ALS a composite part of a bigger group?
All of the ALS groups are acquiring new members. And in fact, in one of the groups, Breanne Dressen, who's part of React 19, the Vaccine Injury Support Group, contacted several people in one of the groups today that had reported that they'd been diagnosed with ALS following their injury. And she is putting them in touch with a researcher who's going to be trying to determine what's causing it and see if there's any way of treating it. And this is all will be at no cost to the victim. So if anyone's interested in, is dealing with ALS as a result of these shots, you probably want to get in touch with her. I don't know how many people they're recruiting, but there's an open invitation right now to participate.
Okay. Just a quick headline, less than an hour ago. Diaper Joe tests positive for COVID and cancels his Las Vegas event. Rather convenient.
Yep.
He can go hide in Delaware in his basement for the next week or two and let this whole Trump thing blow over. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he were well aware of the plans that went awry. I wouldn't. That's just me. I don't trust any of these people. Okay. Sick from swab. Now, that's interesting. We haven't really done this. It was a concern early on that a lot of people expressed. My God, they're putting these things up our noses, cramming it all the way to the back, up against our skull, to that little thin plate of bone that separates your brain from your sinus. What was on those swabs? And I think most of you remember the videos that showed little black fibers in some of those allegedly pure, sterile swabs that they were using. And when people would exhale on them, i.e. heat and moisture, those little black items would start to move. That shouldn't happen. They shouldn't be in there. So can we do these swabs? I'm very interested in this.
Yeah. There's some a lot of talk out there that people that are sick now that didn't get the shots, are they sick because they were swabbed?
They got swabbed. Yep. All right, let's see what we got.
But I think
here.
there's a tendency to dismiss the virus because of this no virus thing. So people think there's no virus. It's all a con job. And so naturally they're going to default to, well, if I didn't get the shot and I'm sick, then it must be from the swabs.
Got it. Now, when she says no virus thing, she's talking about the Flat Earth cousin group that says there are no such things as viruses on planet Earth. Never mind 100-plus years of science. Never mind any of that. There's no virus, no COVID virus, etc. And if you buy into that, it's your right and your privilege, and we wish you good luck. All right, here's the first one from, it's got kind of a funny name. I won't mention it. Hello, everyone. I would like to know if some of you started to have some serious heart issues after taking the COVID-19 swab test. Oh, I mispronounced it. Schwab test. Since I had the test back in 2020, my heart is messed up, and I've been jobless ever since. Life is a living hell. Since because I am unable to function normally anymore, I am not vaxxed, but yeah, I was forced to take the swab test back then. I was never sick before taking the test, and I was an athlete in terrific shape. Thank you, everyone, in advance for your time.
Okay, next. He continues. I'm now 38. I was 34 before, in great shape and never sick. Not a single day sick in so many years. Ventricular extrasystole and other things, because doctors told me for years I had nothing, and this was in my head, but finally admitted my heart was not doing well. I can't stay up too long as well, because my legs and feet get swollen. My skin is falling down as well, and my teeth are rotting. I had perfect white teeth before, and not a single cavity.
Uh-huh.
Many health issues since. Anyways, was just looking around to see if people had the same issue because of the swab test in another kind of disguised vaccine.
Uh-huh. Okay. Next, someone says, I tried...
That's protocol... the same one.
Oh, it is? Okay. I tried protocol 1000 for 6 months without success. All right.
That's the chlorine dioxide protocol where you're drinking,
bleach.
A couple ounces of it every hour for, 8 hours.
It's funny how Dr. Merritt was doing that every hour, all through the day, she said, and now she's kind of not around much anymore. What did you say was missing? Most of her online stuff?
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen much from her,
no.
To be honest. I just, when she went off in the flaky direction of no viruses, okay.
Okay, my son didn't take any COVID vaccines or was never tested. None of us are, but he is going through hell right now. It's like a mystery illness. Maybe it's the COVID virus or shedding. It's a bioweapon, so that could be what's happened. It's a scary time for him, and he can't seem to get any answers. His resting heart rate sits around 140. He's only 21 and was always in good health.
Someone says to that, potassium deficiency is causing heart issues. And she replies, thank you. He has been taking all of the vitamins, especially B vitamins. He was low on folate, so we've been trying to get that up. His potassium was okay. His symptoms are racing heart palpitations, dizziness, fatigue, severe anxiety, itchiness, brain fog, muscle weakness, joint pain, and weakness in general. Intrusive thoughts. Thought it might be his thyroid then. His free T4 came back at high normal, 21.5, but usually for years it's been between 15 and 16, but his TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, is normal, so we're not really sure. He's still getting tests done, but it's really strange. Well,
okay.
It could be the virus,
yeah.
It could be shedding.
It could be. It certainly could be.
I mean, that spike protein, it when it docks onto these ACE2 receptors, which are present throughout the body, your cardiovascular system especially, you're going to have issues.
All right. Here are a couple from the shedding file. Has anyone developed COVID symptoms after being around large groups of vaxxed individuals? This keeps happening to me, and I'm starting to wonder if I need to do the detox protocol that vaxxed individuals have been recommended to do, though I am not vaxxed. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I would, because, even if they're just shedding the protein is poison.
Right. It's a deadly, deadly stuff. Go ahead. There's one more.
Let's see. I feel lately my symptoms have changed. It's odd. I was in California for 4 months, had same symptoms, pins and needles, heart palpitations, lack of energy, to name a few. Since I am back here, it's mostly headaches, achy legs, and this odd feeling I can't really describe. What's weird is I never had headaches before from shedding. I was exposed 13 days ago to vax people, and I am still not feeling right. I also smell the vax and can tell immediately who is and isn't vaxed, but haven't smelled it strong lately. Could be I've learned to avoid it. Going to store when it's not busy is helping. I also am very sensitive to chemicals, drugs, or any kind, and people with negative energy. I am very intuitive and can be psychic. I have an autoimmune disease as well. Maybe we can start a smaller group for those who are extremely sensitive to it. Want to take the next?
All right. This is the last one. I was smelling all of my neighbors, but I don't always smell it on them anymore. I'm getting an odd feeling as well. The air doesn't feel right after a jabber has been around. It almost has a metallic characteristic to it. I've been getting swelling on the right side of my abdomen lately. It's unsettling. I will not go to a doctor because the swelling is kind of like someone blowing up a balloon in real time. That is my reaction around the jabbed. So apparently it's manifesting in a myriad of different ways among the unvaxxed, just being around the vaxxed.
Yeah.
And I'm suspicious that many of the vaxxed hanging around the vaxxed are getting tagged with that same kind of thing, too. They're getting shed upon. So that's not being talked about much.
And some of them can feel it, yeah. There's some that are sensitized to other people's shedding, oddly enough. But, the metallic thing is interesting because, as we've said, the spike has sites on it that can bind to metals.
Yep.
So it may be that you're getting the protein plus whatever metals this person may be toxified with or not managing properly, whether it's iron or copper or mercury or cadmium.
Good point.
You name it.
Very good point, yeah. Now, spike likes metal. Metals are playing a key role in this disassembly of life.
Yes,
and it's just not being talked about virtually anywhere else. We were probably the first to make noise about iron and how the spike causes iron to start running loose in the body and heme running loose. This thing is what Dr. Chetty said. It is the most deadly thing that humankind has ever created. And
it doesn't work, quickly like something like ricin. Unless you get a good dose of it, I would say. But in general, it's just a slow and insidious accumulation of toxicity, and you just start deteriorating.
They want your money. Transfer of wealth. They want you taking tests. They want you going to patronize the hospitals and the clinics and the doctors and who often don't know their ass about this. Sorry.
Yeah, they're not particularly helpful.
Many of them don't. No. They've got a whole list of tests. Well, we better test for this or that, and it'll be only $72,000, but don't worry.
But they write them prescriptions for tranquilizers and antidepressants.
Oh, antidepressants? You got it. They love to do that. Oh, this is a psychological thing. It's really all in your head.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine the horror of the poor people, you vaxxed, injured people who are listening, having gone to doctors and having to be subjected to their ignorance and arrogance. Not all of them, but too many of them. And what I'm talking about.
There was somebody that came into the group the other day that just related a nightmare like that. Had waited to see a neurologist, top neurologist, at one of the major hospitals in the country and was completely gaslit.
I know. It's horrible. All right. Excellent. Thank you. Good job, as always. Talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
All right. We have to pause on that note. Come right back with filmmaker Joel Gilbert next. Always a great guest, and he's got a lot to say. Be right back.